Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. This is American Christian. I'm Pete Cooper.
And you're an hour earlier than you were last week. Or is it an hour later? I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? We have people listening to us in other countries.
Well, this is true.
We're in different time zones, which is a beautiful thing.
Right.
Hey, we just spent an hour talking about what we're going to talk to you about today. I mean, really, it was like, wow.
That's right.
But I think we kind of landed on this idea. We're going to be talking a little bit about tyranny again, right?
Right.
And we're titling this episode 79 as Citizenship and the Gospel. When do you move into the gospel doc, and when do you move into your citizenship, especially if you're an American Christian?
Ooh.
So, hey, did you like that? See what I did there?
I did.
It kind of rolled in. So, Acts 22,
right,
starting in verse 22.
We were cruising around in the book of Acts.
We were.
And we land on this beautiful little passage here.
Yeah, it's not in the typical Romans passage where you would think that would be found, right? Romans
right.
13.
Anyway, so the setting here is Paul is in Jerusalem. He's trying to do right things and, you know, worship God in the temple and all that. He's a Jew. That's his right to do that. And this crowd gets all racked out of shape because they think he's brought this Gentile guy into the temple, which he didn't do, but they saw him with Paul in the city and saw this big uproar starts.
Right.
So Paul starts speaking to them, and let's pick it up in verse 22. Of chapter 22 of Acts, it says, and they listened to him until this word, and that is that Jesus was sending him to the Gentiles. They didn't like that. So, and they said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live.
Ooh.
Then, as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust in the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks. Now, bear in mind that just before this, we're told how the soldiers actually rescue Paul from this rioting crowd, pretty much save his life, and then give him this permission to speak.
Mm.
Okay? So he's brought into the barracks, and the commander says that he should be examined under scourging. You might remember the Passion of the Christ if you want a review on scourging. Okay,
yeah.
If you're doubtful about that, go review the flogging scene.
Ugh.
Okay, that'll help you remember. And so that he might know why they shouted so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? Isn't it interesting how Paul presents this? He doesn't say, hey, I'm a Roman, you leave me alone. He asks a question. Isn't that interesting?
It is interesting.
But it's based on the truth of his legal standing as a citizen of Rome. And we really learn some interesting things about Paul here. So, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? Well, obviously, no. So, when the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, take care what you do, for this man is a Roman. Then the commander came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman? He said, yes. And the commander answered, with a large sum I obtained this citizenship. Paul said, but I was born a citizen. I was born a Roman citizen. That's an interesting statement, isn't it?
I think that it is.
And immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him, and the commander was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman and because he had bound him. And then, verse 30, the next day, because he wanted to know for certain why he was accused by the Jews, he released him from his bond and called the chief priests and council to appear in Paul's, and that's another whole saga in the story. But But here's the thing we want to focus on right now.
Yeah.
After all Paul says in his epistles, mm-hmm. Romans, Galatians, you name it, Ephesians, well, all over the place, about the gospel and the claim of Christ on a life, and Paul's whole example in the book of Acts. I mean, you would think that at some point it would be, all right, I follow Jesus. I'm no longer a citizen in this world at all. I'm just a citizen of the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
I'm gone.
Yeah, and I think
But he doesn't do that.
I think I've done that.
A little bit, I have too.
Right? Like,
yeah, I'm just following Jesus. And we, listener, let's get our heart. But we want you to follow Jesus.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Absolutely. I mean, really, follow hard after him. But in this present life, in this present age, our point we're trying to make to you is while you follow Jesus, you are still in a civil order that has claims upon you. It has responsibilities. It has duties.
Wow. I mean, absolutely.
I mean, I know of a pastor down in St. Paul. Actually, my son used to go to this church. Who gets up and says, "Well, I've punched out. I don't vote. I don't do any of this citizen stuff. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven."
Yeah.
This church has thousands of people going to it.
Who have civil responsibilities.
But are they following the pastor's example? I mean, dude.
Right. Is this a realm and a reign thing or not?
It is. Oh. I think it is.
All right. So if we're talking realm and reign then, and some of you have probably heard Dr. Nichols speak of the realm and the reign, but because we're living in a realm right now, even though we're under a reign. Is that how I would say that?
Yes, and I would add to that Jesus came with the reign of the kingdom of heaven without the realm.
Yeah, break that down.
Yeah, in other words, in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus gets up and says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand."
Yeah.
And then you read on a few verses, and what is he doing almost immediately? Casting out demons, healing the sick, forgiving sins, doing all this stuff, but not coming into any kind of civil conflict with government authorities to set up a realm of a kingdom, which is the soldiers, the weapons, the palaces, all of that stuff. That is the realm of the kingdom.
Yeah.
So what we have here in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven in this present age is a reign without a realm. But every human being is living in a realm of some kind that's left over here from Jesus not taking over militarily, politically, economically. So in ancient times, it was the Roman Empire. And then I was just reading last night about the chaos the Christians were in when the Roman Empire fell in the 5th century AD. And the church father Augustine became the guy that had to say, look, how we, you know, what does a Christian do here? Now Rome is no more. It's all, you know, dissipated and scattered out all over. Some people are happy. Some are sad. Some are...
Right.
Because now the Vandals and the Goths are bringing chaos and confusion to the world scene, but now we don't have the tyranny of the Romans. So he writes his thing called The City of God, which is very interesting, and it controls the Christian theology of this for 1,000 years.
Wow.
Up to the time of Luther and Calvin.
So that brings... So as you're talking about... this realm and reign, and then I'm thinking to myself, like this dual citizenship, right?
Right.
You've probably heard that, listener.
Ooh, that's good. Dual citizenship.
Dual citizenship, because this is what came to my mind was the idea behind what you have, the weapons of our warfare, right?
Are not and carnal.
They're not carnal.
Mighty in God for pulling down strongholds.
There you go. And for the pulling down of strongholds and the armor of God that we've been given is to fight where? But our citizenship on earth is where? And how are we to fight when we're citizens of the U.S.? When
right.
tyranny comes, because we've talked tyranny spiritually here on this program, but what about physical tyranny in through government, educational, and even religious tyranny?
Right. So, and really, you can trace this all the way back to Jesus himself. Because so many people, I think, go down a wrong path when they do this. Okay, so I'm following Jesus. Now I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
I'm not a citizen of this earth anymore. I'm sorry. Yes, you are. No, it's not in number one place anymore. It isn't the key operating principle of your life, but it's still there, and you still live there, and you still go to the grocery store to get your food, and you still go to the polling place to vote,
yeah.
and you drive your car down the road. There's a highway patrolman there that's protecting you from people driving 110 miles an hour.
Right.
I mean, there's all kinds of things going on that are not really the kingdom of heaven.
Right. And we just have found, not found, maybe we did just find, but here we're given a scriptural example of Paul. You know, Paul, the epistle writer, for Pete's sake, here he is, right?
I mean, this is the guy.
You'd think this is
Jesus,
yeah,
it's Paul.
Right? If anybody would have said, like, hey, he does. He goes off into the Jew part.
Right.
Remember when he goes on that diatribe?
Yep.
But now he's going off on
the Roman
diatribe.
Exactly.
And then there's also the Christ diatribe. Like, there's these three places that Paul is showing us. You can live in all three places, all three places have something that needs to be conquered, and it needs to be conquered for the kingdom of God.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure. But what I find really interesting here is Paul's statement in verse 28. After the commander says, hey, I paid big money to be a citizen.
Yeah.
Paul says, I was born a citizen. Why doesn't Paul say, I was born into the kingdom of God. I'm a born-again believer. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm a Jew. And if you guys touch me, angels are going to pop up and knock you to the floor, man.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't do that.
So go into the Elisha thing.
Yeah,
right. Like, hey, right. Take a look at this.
Right, where the bears came out and ate the boys. I mean, that was rough.
Wild bears.
I've
been turned loose to nothing.
In 2 Kings, you can read it.
Right. Yeah.
But this isn't that. This is Paul. His citizenship as being born in Tarsus of Cilicia is still important to him.
Right.
And right here in this point, he uses it to avoid being scourged.
And rightly so.
And rightly so.
Yeah.
I would have done the same thing.
He does not avoid all of his scourgings.
Right. There are other places and times when he does.
This is the first one that he...
But let's go back to this other one in 16, because I'm glad you raised that,
all right,
Pete.
All right.
Because even when he does get beat and thrown in the slammer...
Yeah.
I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's... really. I mean, it is, like, amazing. So the story of Philippi, we don't have time to read the whole thing, but Paul goes in there. Remember, they cast the demon out of the slave girl,
and the guys are making
all the money off of her.
Yeah.
So they...
disruption.
Right, disruption in the city. So the magistrates, verse 22, this is in Acts 16. The multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, that's approximately equal to scourging. Maybe not exactly, but it's pretty close.
Well, okay. After the first one, you're probably thinking down that.
Right. And so he commands the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he puts them in the inner prison. Now, we're not going to read the whole thing, but anyway, at midnight, Paul and Silas start singing Amazing Grace. or some other great hymn that they knew.
Yeah.
And there's an earthquake, and all the prisoners' bonds are loose.
Yeah.
Remember, the jailer's going to kill himself. Paul's, hey, wait a minute, we're all here yet.
It's an unusual response to a circumstance, right? And if you go through the Word, you will see that playing out. These are unusual responses to what's happening in the natural.
Right, and there's a bridging of the two citizenships there, I think.
Ooh.
I think.
I like that.
Paul, always the citizenship of the kingdom of heaven is always in the ascendancy, but the Roman citizenship is always there. It's real. It's something you sometimes take advantage of.
I like that.
Yeah. So, again, we don't have time to read the whole story, but the jailer takes them to his house, washes their wounds, the whole household believes. That's awesome. But then, verse 35, when it was day, the magistrates sent the officers saying, let those men go. And so Paul and Silas just meekly, secretly snuck out of the city. Is that right?
No. Not this time.
Oh.
But there have been times when he's been snuck out of a city before.
Right.
This is not one of them.
This reminds me of Daniel. When that decree was signed, Daniel, what does it say in Daniel chapter 6? And Daniel went home and he shut all his doors and windows and crawled into a closet so nobody could hear him. But
and
he had a prayer
before
to
the
God.
Lord.
That's not what it says. He went home and opened all his windows. And he knew these idiots were all around his house listening so they could accuse him, right? He was bold. I mean, it reminds me of that.
Yeah.
So anyway, the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace. Now, how many of us would just, thank God, let's get out of here.
Thank you. You would be thrown down. Thank you, Jesus.
Get out of town. Come on.
Send the Uber.
Finally, we're out of the slammer.
Yeah.
But Paul said to them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and have thrown us into prison. Do they now put us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and get us out.
So Paul's holding these magistrates accountable for their actions
for
and not
their
just
evil.
Letting it.
Exactly.
So why aren't... Whoa, I pounded the table there. Sorry, Tim. Why aren't we trying to hold people accountable for their actions today?
Because we don't understand that we're citizens of two kingdoms at the same time. And Jesus didn't tell us to stop being citizens of the civil order.
Right. Imagine being in China.
Oh.
You don't have, what kind of rights do you have in China versus here?
I mean,
or in Turkey or Russia
right.
or accountability. I like that. That just kind of jumped on me. I'd throw that in there.
So they were afraid when they heard they were Romans, and they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. And even then they didn't leave. Isn't it interesting? So they went to the out of the prison, entered the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. I expect that took several hours. Right?
Yeah.
So, again, this relationship between the citizenship in the kingdom of heaven and the citizenship in the kingdom of this world is very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Both are real for the believer. And what you just said, Pete, is so important. Holding the rulers, the magistrates, accountable. So again, now back to Acts 22, where we started. Okay, so Paul said, a large sum. Okay, I want to key in a little more on this. I was born a citizen.
Ooh, okay.
Because really, if you're a reader of Paul's epistles, which I think many of you are, I mean, you at this point in this story, you would not expect Paul to say, I was born a citizen of Rome.
Right.
That's not his usual thing he talks about. He is, our citizenship is in heaven. Our you know, the kingdom of God and born again. And right. I mean, that is our primary thing. But once again. So.
But he starts with the Hebrew Jew thing.
Right.
Right. In 22, chapter 21, he says.
That's true.
Hear my defense before you now. So he's like, he starts here, and maybe that is a rule of thumb for us. Hey, look, I was born here in America. I have pledged allegiance to the flag. I live underneath this Bill of Rights. I have been given, you know, the five liberties of speech and whatever they are. Constitutionally, right? Like the freedom of the press, the freedom
redress of grievances.
Yes, yes. Mm. Oh, did we forget about the fifth one? Mm. Because that one right there, you have the right to petition your government. I mean, not in the form of a chain letter that's sent through email, but that as a citizen of the United States, that with pen and paper, you can craft a letter and you can send it.
Furthermore, oh man, and this opens up a huge can of worms.
What?
If you read our Constitution,
yeah,
of this which you were born into as a citizen, just as Paul was born into the Roman situation, you were born into this American situation.
Right.
If you read your Constitution, you would find the federal government has no power, no authority except what is specifically enumerated in that document. All other powers, all other controls, all other edicts belong to who?
The state
and to the people.
Yeah. Wow. Ultimately, to the people.
Right.
Because we are saying, you are going to represent me. And I don't know when the last time that you've ever heard those words. You sent me to do a job for you. And this is what I'm doing for you. I don't think we hear that too often.
No,
I mean, there's
so
like,
oh, we should go to Romans 13.
Okay, probably. Let's go.
We've been there before.
No, but
don't get weary of us going to Romans 13. Okay.
No, but it's a good.
But
it's good.
I saw something from it last night that I never saw before.
Oh, I love how this is tying together.
I know.
After an hour of discussion of like, how in the world do we tie all this up?
Well, okay, and you're all familiar with Romans 13, but we better read it anyway, okay?
Yeah.
So verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. In other words, be a law-abiding citizen, right? Now, verse 4. For he is God's, and here's a word we need to spend some time on. My translation here says, for he is God's minister to you.
Yeah.
For good. The Greek word right here is, he is God's diakonos to you.
In the Amplified, for he is God's servant to you for good.
That's a better translation, actually, the Amplified on this one.
Because the Greek is what?
Diakonos.
Which we get our word.
We get our English word. Ready? Drum roll. Deacon. From that word.
Deacons. And deacons do what?
They serve.
They serve who?
Well, in the church, they serve Christ as the head.
But
in this point
people,
here, he is God's servant to you for good. And they reward good, so mm-hmm. they serve you. And they punish evil, so while they're punishing evil, they're also serving you because the evil person doesn't come and take your stuff or kill you or something. Right?
So remember we were talking about just a couple minutes ago about responsibility or accountability, and the accountability, like we have one side of this accountability and they own the other side, which is this. The authorities that exist are appointed by God. God is choosing them. And you can say, well, what about Biden? Or what about Kamala? Or what about, like,
Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, pick your unfavored person, Trump or whatever, whoever that is.
Right.
The thing of it is that God has chosen them and that they have been chosen not unawares. There's an accountability that is going to call, that is going to fall upon them in the same way that teachers and pastors have an accountability on their calling as well.
Mm.
Now, you can walk away from that call or this accountability or this position that God's given to you, but do you think that God appointed these people and then walked away and said, well, I told you once? No, I'm pretty sure that God continues to bring his message of hope and redemption to the leaders so that they do not bring a tyranny against those that they are to, quote unquote, serve.
So, listener, we would ask you this question. We were talking about this again before the podcast here, too. Both Pete and me, when we were children, which is a little while ago.
It's been a little while.
We remembered being told and hearing all the time that people that go to be in the government are public servants. When is the last time you heard those two words put together? Public servant, describing a, let's say, a senator or a governor or a House of Representatives person or a president. When's the last time you heard that? It's been a while, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's because the truth of this reality and the truth of your two citizenships at the same time has been eroding away from us.
Ooh.
And we've got to get it back. He is God's diakonos to you for good. And again, there's your responsibility.
Yeah.
If you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. If you break the law, you're going to be arrested and possibly put in prison.
But what if the leader isn't doing what is good?
Well, then we get into the whole thing we covered under lesser magistrate.
Right.
When the ruler is rewarding evil and punishing good, then we have a situation because that violates the very nature of God,
right?
Who appointed him?
Yeah.
So we got a problem here then.
Yeah, Jochebed was one of those problems.
Right.
Right. She became a problem to the Egyptian authority.
Yep, Pharaoh himself.
Pharaoh himself, by not killing her son Moses. What can one woman do?
Yeah.
Oh, well, oh!
Keep her baby alive.
Whoa!
See what he'll become when he grows
up.
Whoa! We're talking Moses.
Whoa!
I mean, I
know. Like, there are people that are being raised up right now to become prophets and to be pastors, Doc. They're going to become servants.
Think about this. There are babies in the womb of women right now that aren't born yet that are to be prophets and evangelists and pastors and all these. And the question is Satan going to be able to take them out with an abortion?
Well, we say no. We're just not going to have it.
We say no.
We stand against it right now.
Right.
Well,
right.
Thank you.
So our citizenship is in heaven, from which we expect a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. That's the second coming. And friend, at the second coming, all this is going to change.
Yes, it is.
When all the events of the second coming have happened, and Jesus is here ruling the earth from his throne as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, all right, You will be in one kingdom at one time with one. It'll all be together. But it isn't now.
Right.
And those who say it is, we're here disagreeing with them loudly today.
Yes.
Because it's not. You do have an account of it. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Jesus said that in Matthew 22. And render to God the things that are God's.
Mm. Well, even the render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Paul does this.
Yes, he does.
He renders his citizenship unto Caesar. and is going to go. Eventually, he goes to speak. Right, makes his way to Rome.
But this ultimate example of that gets him killed.
Well,
appeals to Caesar.
Right.
I'm going to Caesar, and these guys, these magistrates are going, I kind of wish he wouldn't have done that because
Caesar's a little off his bubble.
Yeah, you know who the Caesar was then, don't you?
Remind me.
Nero.
Oh, Nero. He was a fiddle player.
Yeah, he was a musician. Very accomplished musician. Kept the people in the auditoriums by force of the sword to listen to it. And he was a singer, too.
That I did not
great
know.
Great audiences. They were brought in by the sword, and they were kept there for hours by the sword while the great musician emperor performed.
If any of you have had a son or a daughter that grew up in your house playing the fiddle, I just want to commend you right now for doing so because that's a painful little process.
The fiddle isn't bad. My mom and dad endured the tuba.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. You started on the tuba. Oh, man, we just hope that we've been an encouragement to you guys today. You know, no matter where you start out, on the fiddle or if you start out on the tuba, you know, you have been given an opportunity and you're listening today because you do have this dual citizenship. If you're listening today and you don't, we want to encourage you to make your way into a church, find a pastor. You can call us here at Heart of the Father at 320-566-1144. We will walk you through and bring you before the Lord that you may repent and turn from your sin and become a citizen of heaven.
You know, Pete, I think we may have people listening right now that would want to do that right now.
Yeah.
On the podcast.
Amen.
So, friend, what you need to do is to come to Jesus and become a member of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is you have to repent of your sins.
Yeah.
You have to call on the name of the Lord. Mm. Ask Jesus to be your Savior and Lord, and He will take you because He loves you.
Yes.
He will receive you unto Himself.
Yes.
And this remarkable, amazing thing that's called the new birth will happen to you. Yes. Pete, would you lead people in a prayer for that, please?
So you can just repeat after me. And, you know, it doesn't have to be verbatim. But what we want to do is just go before the Lord and with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, unless you're driving, but to just come before Him and just tell the Lord that you are going to turn away from sin and that you believe that He is the Son of God. Because the Word says that whosoever confesses Jesus before the Father Jesus will confess you before the Father. So we want to repent, and repent means to turn away, to stop doing what you know to be wrong. Stop doing that and learn to do what is right. So Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would forgive us of our wrongdoings, Lord. And you can mention what those things are. Maybe it's fornication. Maybe it's lying. Maybe it's adultery. Maybe you're a person that doesn't live by the truth, but that you're living by lies, and you know that they're lies. You know that they're not right. That you're taking advantage of other people, or maybe it's that you're not loving God. And God requires us to love Him. We're to love God, to believe that He is who He says that He is, and that Jesus is who He says that He is. That He is the Son of God, and that God sent Him, that Jesus died on a cross for your sin, and on the third day, after He was buried, came back to life and appeared to many. He is alive now today as a man. He is in heaven, and He is seated on that and on the throne there, and that you believe, you can choose to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So, Lord, I just thank you right now for the confessions that are being made. Maybe you're still confessing those things before Him. And that you're being welcomed right now in the name of Jesus into this beautiful kingdom. And that you have now been quickened and have become a new creature just by confessing the belief in Christ and the resurrection of Christ, and that he lives and is seated at the right hand of the Father. The Lord will do the rest of that work in bringing you along, that as the Holy Spirit now will come into you, and we pray that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus, that you would speak with new tongues, that the revelation of God would be given to you as you move forward. But God is the author, friend. He's the author and the perfecter of your faith. And he will walk you through it. It looks a little bit different, really, for everybody. But just know this, that he has you, that there's a future and a hope for you that he has set aside. And it's for you. It's yours. It's unique in the way that he has brought you up. It's unique according to the path that you've walked. But he's giving you new life now. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you for the work that you're doing in and through each one of these new believers, Lord. Welcome to the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.